This one is all about President Trump's announcement last Friday. We deep dive this one. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelvy Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Superior Livestock Productions and Superior Livestock Auction, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station.
Cattle Battle.
I've seen and heard a lot of reactions to news announcements and releases over my tenure in the broadcasting business, which has been many years, but never have I heard the reactions like I've heard from the announcement last Friday that President Trump will allow up to 300,000 metric tons of ground beef to be imported without a tariff, with the commitment that this beef will be sold at 25% below current market prices. Now, with the advent of social media, of course, everyone sees everyone's reactions and opinions. Some question how this can affect the prices of cattle that we are currently processing coming in at 100% choice and prime. It's a good question among many other questions. Let's break this one down and dive down the rabbit hole. Joining us today is producer, business owner, former president of the North Dakota Farm Bureau, radio host, and rancher Darryl Lease. Darryl, here we go. To start, let's summarize the announcement made last Friday by President Trump.
President Trump decided that he was going to announce that there's a supposed deal in place to import, do a tariff-free, about 300,000 metric tons, which equates to about 2.7 billion hamburgers. If you're going to make some quarter pounders out there, if people want to reference something that's more tangible of what it is, that this next 90 days, this was going to happen. And he made a statement about it that we're going to do this to lower the cost of ground beef to consumers while allowing the rancher and supporting them still to grow the cattle herd, which is kind of an oxymoron statement to put in the same thing as we're going to import a bunch more tariff-free to assist and give time to the rancher to build the herd, which doesn't quite work if you're going to manipulate the markets like it did, and like we know it does. I mean, the markets are so politically sensitive nowadays because that news is real time, right? It's the second it's said, it hits the algorithms, and all the traders with their software, with one button, that changes the game. And so it's kind of I just don't understand it. And it's one of those things that, hey, I voted for Trump 3 times, but I'm a firm believer in, just because you vote for someone doesn't mean you're going to agree with them 100% of the time. And it definitely doesn't mean that you should sit back and blindly support every decision they make. It's our duty and our responsibility as Americans to hold our political servants accountable. And some people just aren't willing to do that. Time is now that we have to do that if you haven't done it already.
As I mentioned, social media, everyone's was blowing up over the past weekend, ours, yours included. So how is this going to help the consumer? How is this going to hurt the producer? Since the beef being proposed is supposed to be used to fill the grind.
Well, and that's the one thing when I put my video out there, I talked about, the fact that this is going to be lean grind, right? It's either going to be pre-ground or it's going to be lean trim for grind. And it's going to get blended with some of our, fabulous grind that we have. I mean, it's the consumer wants to buy ground beef. And to the tune of 60%+ of the product that's sold and demanded out there is ground beef in the United States. So our ground beef, we raise the best tasting, the most flavorful beef in the world. But with that comes extra fat. And to make that work, we need the lean grind. There's no doubt about that. We don't have enough lean grind in this country. What is upsetting about this is we're going to let it come in tariff-free, and supposedly there's a deal that it's going to be sold 25% less than market right now. And that's the concerning part, is like, we in America can't compete with the Brazils, the Argentinas, the Australias on these products. And that's the reason a tariff exists, is so that packers and distributors, and I say packers and distributors together because it's not packers alone, can't just bring in a product that is sometimes pennies on the dollar for input costs to produce, and put the American rancher in peril because of it. And that's what something like this does, is it puts that question out there. You know, people were starting to expand, thinking about maybe retaining some heifers where they can. Obviously, there's a big area of drought again. Every decision like this, this loan thing won't stop it, but it's one more thing on the checklist of what are the cons, what are the possibility of the cons if we expand our herd. Well, this is one more on that checklist to make people pause.
Okay, you referenced rebuilding the herd expansion. There's so much discussion around this topic. Do we need to try to get all of these numbers back to where they were and add more product to the marketplace? It's a good question. We've had a lot of discussions around that very thing.
Boy, now you've gotten into a conversation. Do we have like 3 hours?
Really? I know, right? This is a 17-part series that we're going to be going on with that. But this has a lot to play into about what we're talking about, of just where in the next 90 days, bringing in this 300,000 metric tons tariff-free, it has a lot to play in that. Those two are coordinated together, especially when we look at the date and the time that we're in a cattle cycle where a lot of feeders are fixing to go to sale, and we're also in midterms, and there's a lot of moving parts with this that, honestly, in my opinion, they're all related.
Oh, it's all related. Yeah. And this was, let's go back to, first of all, this is a political move to try and gain votes for the midterms. It's not going to work. That's probably the most frustrating thing about this, because quite frankly, if you would lower and do things and hold accountable and get things straightened out on the Strait of Hormuz and that, and gas and diesel would be 50 cents a gallon cheaper, would make more of an impact than ground beef being 50 cents a pound cheaper.
You're darn
on
right.
People's lives.
You're darn right.
This is not going to, why are you targeting beef? First of all, I don't think beef is too high, Jeff. I really don't. I think beef is probably where it needs to be. There's people still buying it. Have some people backed off? Yes, there's some that have. But people are still buying it. That's why our market is here, because we're not producing any fewer pounds. We've got fewer head. But our carcass weights are up drastically from 10 years ago. Our carcass weights are up drastically from 3 years ago. And now that comes with, there's the double-edged sword, though, where when we start really analyzing this, that could take, 17 hours to figure this out. Because are we creating a need for more importation of lean grind because we've got a fatter product as we make these carcasses bigger? That comes into the question then. Have we followed the packers and distributors' lead? Have they led us to producing these bigger carcasses so that there can be less head, so they have to deal with fewer people in the feeding of these things? Or would we've been better off, instead of 1,700 pound finished cattle, still doing 1,500 pound finished cattle at the end of the day?
So there's a rabbit hole just in and of itself, that one right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We did the same thing in the hogs. In the early 1990s, a 240 pound pig would bring you the biggest premium. And then the packers and distributors are like, we don't want to deal with that many people. So we're going to ratchet this thing up. You're going to get discounted if they ain't 250. Then you're going to get discounted if they aren't 270. And now you're going to get discounted if they don't hit that slot range of about 285 to 305, because they get more pounds of product doing less animals and dealing with less people in the industry. We fell for it there. The beef folks are falling for it too, because they're creating their genetics to be able to finish at 1,700 pounds instead of creating genetics that are done and need to go at 1,500 and keeping them in the driver's seat.
Y'all are glued to this one. So, Daryl, hold on. Let's keep this one going, but we have to take a break. You know what it's like with your shows. We got to do that. Crew, we'll be right back with more of the Ranch It Up Radio Show when we return. Keep it parked.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today. Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
Coming soon to RanchChannel.com, the Sales Series, the evolution of how producers connect with elite livestock and proven operations. From top-end bulls, heifers, and horses to land, equipment, products, and programs shaping the future of agriculture. The Sales Series, where smart ranching starts. Find out more by emailing info@RanchChannel.com. Welcome back to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. We're back with Daryl Lease, rabbit-holing President Trump's announcement last Friday about importing 300,000 metric tons of ground beef tariff-free. So, Daryl, how do we get off this roller coaster or merry-go-round or stop the train, whatever analogy you want to use?
Well, and that's a tough thing. I mean, obviously, agriculture decades ago, someone decided, and people followed, that we were going to produce a commodity and be price takers. Well, when you're price takers, you also don't set the playbook, right? You don't, you're on someone else's court when you become price takers. That horse has been out of the barn for, like I said, decades. So how do we undo that? We got small producers, and we're one of them that does some direct sales. That helps, but it's not 100% of the solution. My question to producers are, one of the fixes is, are you fed up enough that you will invest in the processing facilities and invest in the distribution that goes along with that so that you can control your market? And are you willing to sit in there and have staying power, because you're going to get tried, they're going to try and take you out? And do you have the intestinal fortitude? Do your bankers have the intestinal fortitude to stick with you on something like that? That's about the only way we can back out of this 100%. Now, and that's what probably has to happen if people that want to break packer monopoly, that's one of the solutions that got to come with it. So if you want to break up the packer monopoly, which I'm not saying we shouldn't, you better be willing to put your skin in the game on the processing and distribution side at the same time.
So this move made by President Trump, you know, just like you, calls were going off all weekend long and all the prior this last week and you name it. Is this move, do you think, going to have the effect on, the consumer, that they're actually going to be able to get this, to get beef for 25% below current market prices? Is that actually going to happen? Number one. And number two, is this going to have the actual effect, do you think, on cash beef prices when we're taking calves to the sale barn? Now, we did see on, a week ago when that hit, we did see, you know, cash prices fall, but we saw the board come back. So that's my question. Is this going to have the effect both positively that the Trump administration wants to have for the consumer, or they're saying that they want to have for the consumer, could it have the effect negatively on the actual beef market?
Well, I think seeing the board come back didn't surprise me. I figured the board would bounce back. It's cash confidence that I question now. I don't know that the confidence is going to be there. to run this cash thing back up very quickly here. It's going to take some time in my mind. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this cash thing will bounce back and people will have short memories on this. And it's like, ah, that's just Trump being Trump and no big deal. But we've got some other factors coming in here at the same time. People are wondering what our feedstuff supply is going to be. What's that corn crop going to be like? That's playing on people. So, like I said, I think this is one more thing on the con side, not just on the expansion of the mama cow herd, but I think it's a mark on the con side for guys that are feeding, especially if you're a farmer feeder, and they're going to be going, yeah, I don't know if I want to lay that kind of money out. I might buy some, but it's going to be at my price, not what the going price is. And so I think the cash confidence is what I'm most concerned about. The cash stayed skittish, and probably rightly so. It's just because it's another questionable thing. Following this is going to tell a lot of the story, but I don't know that there's still not going to be some skittish things on cash. Here's the other thing you got to think about. Cash fats are 30 to 40 cents lower than what they were 2 months ago. Well, there's people that are losing money on calves that they bought and fed, or are going to be losing money if that doesn't recover, if that cash market doesn't recover. That's going to push the feeder cattle market softer, because they're going to have to make it up this coming year with what they lost this past year.
Landing the plane on this one, at the end of the day, for those of us that live at the end of dirt roads, it's business as usual. However, it just goes to show that we need to know our numbers, our bottom line, and our break even, because when we rally, and I'm putting good vibes out there by saying when we rally, there will be another item that hits the news, and another, and another. So we need to know where we were, where we are, to determine where we need to go.
Well, and that's a good reminder, because we've been on this train that's been climbing the mountain in the cattle business the last couple, 3 years here now.
Hasn't it been fun, though? I mean,
it's been fun, great. But don't forget what the cattle business can do. And that's the thing that I think is going to be the toughest thing to get past here is, did people use enough preparation to understand that this thing is going to go the other direction at some point in time? We know it is. I mean, it's going to, whatever the factor it might be. I don't like politicians being part of the factor. I would like the demand to dictate that. But it seems politics are always more involved than we want in our lives anyway. But I think that the realization that this thing can pull back, and I got to say, we haven't seen ranchers go out and spend money like we saw the $7 row crop guys, right? The $7 corn guys.
Right.
Man, yep. When they hit $7, there wasn't enough new paint around on equipment sitting in lots to keep them happy. We haven't quite seen that. We've seen some upgrades, right? We've seen ranchers doing upgrades in that, but we haven't seen them go overboard. And I think this thing and a few other things, the Tyson plants closing, that I think they went, we're going to pull back. We're going to, you know, use that money wisely. Maybe we're going to use it to expand a little bit, do some heifer retention. Maybe we're going to retire some debt. Instead of upgrading every piece of paint on our place. So we haven't quite seen the reaction to the high prices on the rancher side that we did on the grain growers side of things when that $7 corn hit, $16 beans. And this might be a blessing actually right now, because it maybe brought people back to reality and went, whoa, yeah, yeah, there's a good reminder.
Darrell Lease, great to have you on the program and give us some additional items to think about and consider. I will put a link for Darrell's comments that he made directly after the announcement on Facebook in the show notes for this episode at ranchitupshow.com. I think we're all going to be watching these fall calf runs closer than ever before. But hey, how about we work on reducing the cost of fuel? Now, that would help the consumer. At $5.75 diesel, at least in our area, it makes me think about going back to a gasser. It's time for a break here on the Ranch It Up Radio Show. The numbers and more of the cow stuff when we return.
Welcome to Sire Buyer. A place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelvy and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7-pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelvy and Balancer females, they make it work. Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up Radio Show. That time in the program, we bring in Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated. So first, Kirk, we're going to recap last week, and then we're going to recap what happened last week Friday. I'm going to get your opinions on that. So 1, 2, 3, go.
All right, Tigger, thank you very much, and welcome to all your listeners out there. As of Friday, August 21st, as you kind of mentioned, the week closed on, I don't know if you call it interesting or disappointing, but President Trump announced the 300,000 metric ton of ground beef are going to be allowed into the U.S. without facing the quota and tariff system. Obviously comes with a bearish undertone. As far as futures, actually rallied after opening much lower to close the week for September feeder futures at 328.50. That's down 6.50 on the week. The CME feeder index was down 7.50 on the week at 341, leaving the basis versus August futures at a positive $6.625. And positive $12.50 against October futures. Octobers are very discounted to cash. We did have a cattle on feed. It was bullish, in my opinion, at 101.8 versus expectations of 102.4. Placements at 89% versus expectations of 93.3. And a marketed number of 92.6 versus expectations of 92.8. So by itself, on its own, if you remove all other variables, I would say the cattle on feed was bullish. October live cattle futures closed the week at 217.90. That's down 87.5 cents on the week, with cash trading 225 to 227, leaving the five-area weighted average $4.11 lower at 225.29, and that was on a pretty good test of 14,711 head. The basis versus August is positive 229. Choice boxes closed the week 10.39 higher at 385.69. They traded as high as 394.99 on Wednesday, I believe. And that's probably the most disappointing news. We got the big rally in boxes we've all been hoping for, and the feedlots were able to capture none of that, indicating that leverage between the packer and the feedlot has definitely shifted to the packer. Weekly slaughter was 523,000. That's 6,000 head above last week, but still 33,000 head below the same week last year. Dress weights remained steady at 885 pounds. That's 13 pounds higher than last year. The combination left yearly production also steady at 5.5% less than last year. Fresh beef imports, kind of where we started this all off, beef imports increased 1%, and that's before President Trump's hamburger deal. That's 13% over last year, which equates to 144,442 metric ton. Very high beef imports. To wrap this all up, if you need a little more bad news for the feeders out there, December corn futures closed the week at 508.25. That's up 24.5 on the week. The pro farmer crop tour wrapped up, shocking the market with a 2026 corn yield of 173.3 bushel an acre. If that's anywhere close to correct, that would leave stocks-to-use ratios below 10% and be very bullish corn.
So, Kirk, I like how you say Trump's hamburger deal, the announcement on Friday. So what is your take of Trump's hamburger deal?
Are we talking economically market-wise or more politically speaking?
Well, I think politically speaking, we're all saying the same thing, that this was definitely a political move nearing midterms. But now let's dance with the economic side of this.
Well, if you kind of go back to the conversation we just had, with the biggest news being what appears to be leverage drastically shifting from the feedlot to the packer, you know, i.e. a very nice rally in boxes that the feedlot's got none of. This move, I think, just intensifies that. To be clear, the packers don't import beef. Those imports will go to import-export market and onto the retailers. But obviously that adds beef supply, I think, into a market that was already struggling with very high hamburger prices. It is not a good thing right now.
And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Daryl Leese, Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, Shea Wanner with Casual Cattle Conversations, and the boss lady, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck. A big shout out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelvie Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7. That phone number is 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week, where it's always Tigger and Beck approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.